Hour, Oren Romaine telling me just before I clicked on the microphone here on Chris Thomas Tonight, Turtle with you till 10 on 92.9 The Game. Our own Drake Baldwin, NL Rookie of the Year. He was fantastic, really grew into his own behind the dish, and obviously showed the pop and the prowess at the plate. So the future is bright with the catching tandem of Murph and Drake.
Congrats. There's an extra added caveat too, Chris, because he started the year on the active roster, in that 40-man roster. The Braves receive an extra first-round draft pick.
How about that? And they sure as heck could use him.
Oh, my gosh.
I joked to you that they should draft a shortstop, but in reality, they should really draft a starting pitcher is what they should do.
They need to draft everybody that's good.
Yeah. Well, that is definitely one way to put it. 404-726-0929. We'll get back to your calls in just a couple of minutes on the Falcons. So if you're on hold, stay there. I promise I will get to you and grab a line. 404-726-0929. Is Michael Penix Jr. the problem for the Falcons as they fall to 3-6 on national stage yesterday in Berlin? To break down that and a whole lot more, we head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Welcome in one of our faves, Frank Schwab, Yahoo Sports. Make sure you check out the pod. Make sure you check out all of his work there as well. Frank, I want to start here. As we are awaiting Frank here, 404-726-0929. We'll get Frank up here in a second. The Giants, if you missed it today, made a huge decision about the future of their franchise, sacking Brian Daboll, keeping GM Joe Shane, who, much like here in Atlanta, there's a lot of battling going on about who deserves blame, who's in the right, who's in the wrong. Shane obviously pulled the biggest trigger last offseason and got Jackson Dart, and he was developing nicely, but the rest, much like with Raheem Morris, behind the rest of the team and the success and the win-loss record, it's just not there. So let's start there on the WadeFord.com hotline. Welcome in our buddy Frank Schwab, Yahoo Sports, NFL, the Inside Access podcast, and everything else that you need for your NFL fix. Frank, let's start in Big Blue Country. They make the decision today to move on from Brian Daboll. Was it the right move, and were you surprised?
I do think it was the right move. I mean... They probably should have just done this after last season. They gave John Mara, their co-owner, gave such a tepid, vote of confidence, I guess, going forward to Shane and Daboll, Joe Shane, their general manager. And it made it seem like they didn't want them back. They just kind of felt like, hey, I guess we have to bring them back for another year. And then, you start 2-8, your rookie quarterback gets hurt, and you're showing no signs of really wanting to protect him. The moment for me that really kind of drove it home that Brian Daboll just isn't the right guy for this job anymore in this situation was when he's sitting there week 5, I believe it was, against the Eagles, he's popping his head into the medical tent and then screaming at the team doctor on the sideline, which the cameras saw, asking, like, where's my quarterback? I need my quarterback back. They're trying to make sure he's cleared of a concussion, Brian. Like, are you really looking out for your quarterback, rookie quarterback's health here, or are you looking out for yourself? And I think with some of the play calling, with some of the ways they were putting Jackson Dart in harm's way, it just wasn't a good marriage anymore. They needed to move on right now. And, it'll be one of those openings that I think is pretty attractive that people want. It's still massive media market. If you turn it around quickly there, you're going to get a lot of attention. That'll be a marquee team. And you do have a lot of young talent to work with. So I do think it was the right call to look. A guy goes 20-40-1. He's not going to keep his job very long.
Yeah, we'll deal with that here in just a second as we're talking all things NFL with Frank Schwab of Yahoo Sports, because we got our own problems with a coach who's 20 games under 500. But on the Giants, one more question here. To me, the obvious name for them to go after is Lane Kiffin. Obviously has the success with Jackson Dart, and that is the most important thing for that franchise, is continuing his development. I've also heard Bill Belichick, with his ties to the organization, to come in and steady the ship. Is there another name or two that you think would make sense?
I don't know. I will say this. I don't like the Belichick option. He's going to be 74 next year. Like, this is a rebuilding team. We're seeing what happened with the Raiders hiring Pete Carroll at that age. You just get down, you get halfway into the season, you wonder, what's the end game here? What are we really doing? And Bill Belichick, I got a lot of respect for Bill Belichick, but how long has it been since he's really had a good season? I mean, like, we're talking 6-7 years. 2019, I think, was really his last run of any success with the Patriots. We have one playoff berth after that, but I don't love that option for them. And the Lane Kiffin thing, I don't know. I mean, maybe – maybe Lane's better off now to be an NFL coach than he was before, but how often does like the college to pro coach thing work? The pro to college thing doesn't work either very often because they're two different sports, basically. So I don't like either of those options. There's a lot of young guys, you know, around the league. Clint Kubiak, I think, is having a great year with the Seahawks. Their offensive coordinator, Joe Brady, even with the Bills. I know that he's under a little bit of fire now, but I don't think that's all his fault. I just think you need to find a young, energetic head coach that can work with the quarterback, bring him along, kind of get on the same page with him and be your guy for the next 10 years. That's the goal anyway, not some short-termer with Belichick or Lane Kiffin because he coached him in college or anything like that. I think you need a more stable foundation than that.
Joe Burrow returns to practice today, says he should be back in just a couple of weeks for the Thanksgiving game. Ravens or Bengals more likely to make the playoff push?
Oh, Ravens by far. I think Ravens going to win that division by mid-September or mid-December. I think they win that division by like three games. If you look at who they're competing against, the Steelers are dead. They're done. They're a bad football team right now. And the Ravens, their next five games, they should be heavy favorites in all five of them. It's not guaranteed that means you're going to win them, but I think Ravens can. I think the Ravens can get on, you know, they've already got three wins already in their pocket. I think they can get on an eight-game winning streak and put this division away. Bengals are just a broken football team. Joe Burrow doesn't really fix what ails them, and that's the defense. They got the worst defense in football. And also I worry because Joe Burrow comes back, and what was the question when he got hurt? Oh, are they doing enough to protect him? Are they doing enough to keep him upright, keep him? None of those questions have been answered. There's offensive line still is not very good. I worry they're putting him in harm's way. He wants to come back. He's a tough dude, and I respect that. And they still think they have hope in this playoff race to get back in it. But, man, I just hope nothing bad happens to Joe Burrow. I worry about it because it just seems like he's rushing back to a bad situation.
How surprised are you at what Matt Stafford's doing at 37?
Stunned. Not because Matt Stafford was incapable of it, but you think back to August and all the stories about his back and is he going to be able to make opening day and is he going to last the whole season? And you factor in his age. You're like, oh, is Stafford ever going to be 100% this year? And he's played as well as any quarterback in the league. He's a heck of a player. He's putting a stamp on, you know, that is a Hall of Fame resume. I thought he was going to make the Hall of Fame once they won a ring there in L.A. But now it seems like a lock. I mean, especially if he wins an MVP, which he seriously could. I believe he's a betting favorite right now to win MVP. It's kind of there's only a few guys left in the race even. I mean, as of right now, Drake May's in there. Jonathan Taylor, I think, deserves it, but running backs don't win anymore. So, yeah, Matt Stafford winning MVP after we spent all of August wondering if he was going to play at all. Like, that's a heck of a story. And happy to see it. He's been just a great, great player in the NFL.
All right, let's get to – I put it off long enough. We got ourselves a situation here in Atlanta, Frank. 3-6, lost 4 in a row. Everyone's ire is now at QB1, Michael Penix. He has not played well. But unfortunately, the coaches have not coached well either. Zach Robinson, Raheem Morris not doing him any favors with direct coaching as well as in-game decision-making. What is your bird's eye view of the Falcons from above? What are you seeing going wrong with this team?
Yeah, they might need a reset. They really might. The Zach Robinson offense has been pretty stale. It's been and the inconsistency is from the team as a whole. Like, one week they look – wow, like, wow, this team's going to win the NFC South. Next week, it's like, you're getting shut out by the Panthers? You're getting boat raced at home by the Dolphins? Like, what's going on here? It's just weird how they're just so up and down, and I think that is reflective of coaching in many ways. And at some point, the results are just the results. Like, what good does it do to try it again? Do you think it's going to get better next year? I don't. Like, it's kind of this was what it is. So, yeah, I think that it'll be interesting. I think that's what the rest of the season is for. I don't really think they're going to jump back in the NFC South race at this point, 3-6. It's not impossible, but I don't see it coming. So the rest of the season is just kind of determining what's good for 2026. I assume Penix is going to be the guy in 2026, but I'd like to see a little bit more, and I'm sure all of Atlanta does too. With Raheem, it's like, okay, you got 7 weeks to save your job here. That's pretty much what it boils down to, I think. It's a messy situation in Atlanta. I know you guys had a lot higher hopes for the Falcons this year than 3-6. And it's just been – it's been one of those weird seasons, too, where it's – you know, bad teams find ways to lose games. So whether it's missing a field goal against the Buccaneers week one, or missing an extra point in a game they could have won at New England, who's a good team, or not being able to close the door on the Colts multiple times in that game. It's just they're kind of a bad football team right now. That's just, it may not be as bad as their record, but they're bad in the fact that they just find ways to lose games.
That's exactly what they do. We got a Monday Night Football game as we're talking with Frank Schwab. Make sure you check him out at Yahoo Sports. Philadelphia at Green Bay. Are you buying Green Bay?
No. I wish I was, because after 2 weeks, I thought this is the best team in the NFL. They just blew out the Detroit Lions week one. They emphatically beat the Commanders week two. They thought, wow, they got Micah Parsons. They've really turned a corner. And since then, I mean, the two of the worst losses in the NFL this season are Packers at Browns and Packers losing at home to the Panthers. I mean, those might be the two worst losses in the NFL this season. Last year, they beat everybody they should have beat. Literally, if you look at their schedule, they won every single game they should have won last year and just weren't competitive against the elite teams in the conference. Now they're not even beating the teams they should beat. Like, it's just so lukewarm. And even the games they win, it's like, okay, well, you needed a couple fourth downs to beat the Arizona Cardinals. Good for you. Like, it's just not a team that's impressing me right now. And the talent is there, and I think Matt LaFleur is a good coach. And I don't know. I don't know what the disconnect is, because I think they should be better than they are. And in some ways, you know, the record's just fine. But if you watch this team week in, week out, especially since week two, it's just not an elite team. It's good. They're fine. But I don't think they're going very far unless something changes in the next few weeks here.
Before I let you go, what do you make of Denver? They're 8-2, but they have all sorts of issues on offense. It depends which team is going to show up. Again, sort of a contender or pretender question.
I don't know what to make of them either. I'm based here. I'm in Colorado. And so, I get, obviously, a lot of talk about this team. And on one end, I can sit there and tell you, they're 8-2, and they're only two losses. No time left on the clock at the Indianapolis Colts, who might be the best team in football, and no time left on the clock at the Los Angeles Chargers, who are a playoff team. They're that close to being undefeated. And so I could tell you that story, but we've all seen the offensive problems. Bo Nix just has taken a step back. There's no way around it. And I know, trust me, people here in Colorado do not want to talk about that. They want to put their heads in the sand and not really address the fact that Bo Nix, who looked like the answer to all their quarterback problems a year ago, has just not replicated that this year. And you expect Sean Payton to fix everything because he's an offensive genius. He really is a great coach, but it hasn't happened. So I don't know. I don't know what to make of the Broncos. There's a game coming up against the Chiefs on Sunday, which, for all intents and purposes, could knock out the Chiefs out of the AFC West race. Like, you get to a point, they'd be 3.5 games back with 7 games to go if they lose that game. But do I trust the Broncos to put up enough offense to win that game? I don't know that I do. We saw Thursday's game. It was terrible. So I don't know. The Broncos are absolutely a confounding team to me. I could tell you a story where they're absolutely a Super Bowl contender. I could tell you a story where they're an absolute fraud at 8-2. And I think I could make evidence to make both points right.
Frank, appreciate the time. As always, we'll chat soon, and we'll make sure we'll check out your work at Yahoo Sports.
Absolutely, I appreciate it.
All right, that is Frank Schwab there, breaking down all things NFL. All right, back to your calls. Let's go. 404-726-0929. Is Michael Penix Jr. the problem for the Atlanta Falcons? We took a ton of great phone calls tonight. We'll keep it rolling. If you're on hold, stay there. You're up first when we get back. 404-726-0929. Is Michael Penix Jr. the problem for the Atlanta Falcons? I think it's coaching. What say you? 404-726-0929. Back with you here on 92.9 The Game, taking your calls at 404-726-0929. Appreciate everybody who's stayed on hold to talk about the Falcons and their situation now. Oh, boy. 3-6, four losses in a row. Offense looks lost. Defense, they put up their best effort, but time of possession, third downs by the offense hampered them. Jonathan Taylor goes off for 300 all-purpose yards. Three touchdowns, Tyler Warren, absolutely mosses, Billy Bowman, and that's about all she wrote in overtime. And that was it, 404-726-0929. But the question is QB1 the problem? There's been so much chatter since this day has ended yesterday around noon or 12:30, actually, by the time the game ended in overtime. Is it Michael Penix Jr.? He has not looked good. He has been awful the last couple of games, and he's trending in the wrong direction. How much of that is on him? How much of that is on the coaching staff? Where do you fall? We're taking your calls, 404-726-0929. Gabe leads us off. Gabe.
Gabe. Hey, so I'll be here. So I'll answer. I'll start with this. No, QB1 is not the problem. And I won't say he doesn't have fault. He's a rookie. Like you said, he's 11 games in. But I'll leave you with a hot take on this frosty night. Coaching isn't all bad. And what by that I mean the staff in its entirety. Defense, you see, came and turned it around, and we got more sacks through 6 or 7 games than we had all last season. All right, so on that side, you see an identity. And on the offense, we are still struggling to get that identity because the offensive coordinator doesn't have an identity, right? I was at the San Francisco game, and we sat behind the bench, and I watched Mike Rutenberg walk up and down the sideline pounding Gatorade. Like, he has a problem, and I love that, and it translates through the defense. There's nobody on offense who can coach, has that identity, and that's why it's not translating to the offense. And it's consistently inconsistent, and we don't have that level of an identity, right? Every offensive coordinator we call a genius. They have some type of identity, whether they are a pure jerk like Kyle Shanahan or just overexerted with energy like Sean McVay, but they have an identity, even with Mike McDaniels. And so that's why I say coaching isn't all bad, but there are spots where there's a huge monumental gap to fill with getting the team ready and getting the team developed. And consistently, we are underprepared and not developing. And that's kind of where we are. And I hate that because you see Dan Campbell, and he started 3-13-1. But they kept with it, and they stayed with the process, and they fired Anthony Lynn, the offensive coordinator, and then you get Ben Johnson, and the rest is history. And same with, like, the Colts. Like, they were about 6 games away from firing Shane Steichen, and now you got 8-2 team with 2 potential MVPs. So, unfortunately, they're going to probably stay the course with Raheem and give him a chance to fix the offense like he did the defense with the hopes that we can turn it around.
I don't know, Gabe.
That's where we are.
You know, I appreciate it, and thanks for the phone call. I don't know, man. I don't know about that last part. If it continues to be this bad and you finish with 5 or 6 wins on the season – I don't see a way you could bring back Raheem, man. This thing would have completely collapsed and fallen out of control and spiraled in a way that none of us, even the most pessimistic Falcons fans, could have even imagined. So I was feeling you, Gabe. You were on a roll, so I was letting you run. But then at the end, I don't know, man. It's certainly not impossible, to Gabe's point, that Raheem could be back if this team doesn't make the playoffs and if this team doesn't have a winning record. But the likelihood of that, I mean, I think it's really, really tiny. Nell is up next. Nell.
Hey, how you doing, man? Great show, man. Appreciate you letting me get on the call, man. Definitely, you know, I feel that, you know, as far as with Michael Penix is concerned, I feel that he is somewhat of the problem because he had to execute on the football field. But mainly I feel that the coaching is also a problem. And let's look at it like this, because when it comes to coaching, you also got to have people around you, senior leadership as far as consulting. You look at the Los Angeles Chargers with Jim Harbaugh. He has his coach that gave him his first job, which is Mark Trestman, as a senior offensive coordinator, senior offensive analyst. And then Jesse Minter, who is a defensive coordinator that used to be here at Georgia State, he brought his dad, which was his linebacker coach at Michigan. So basically he got somebody to fall back on to talk to if there are any issues as it pertains. And also the offensive coordinator is Greg Roman, who was Harbaugh offensive coordinator with the 49ers, and then went to Baltimore while he went to Michigan. And then when he came back to the Chargers, Jim Harbaugh brought him back. They're 7-3 right now. I feel that the only answer I have an idea. The only answer I feel that I think will help, you got to deal with – Raheem Morris has dealt with people, his GMs from his past and GMs in his present. The GM that gave him his first job was Rich McKay. in Tampa Bay. But also, too, the GM that gave him another opportunity as a defensive coordinator was Les Snead. Now, let's talk about Les Snead, who was the GM for the L.A. Rams. Les Snead, from 1998 to 2008, he was the director of player he was a player scout for the Atlanta Falcons. And then from 2008 to 2011, Les Snead was the director of player pro personnel before he went to the L.A. Rams. Him and Sean McVay's contract has not been extended. So basically, their contract was extended to 2026. I would say get the bank truck, get Les Snead, bring them back to the organization, get them total control, and let Les Snead fix.
Listen, if he wants, and I thank you for the phone call, if Les Snead wants to do that, man, yes, please, and blank them picks while we're at it. Look at the Rams this season. Matthew Stafford's probably going to win the MVP if he keeps playing like he's playing. But if Les Snead has the opportunity to go back to L.A., why wouldn't he? I mean, I if they don't want to pay him, I guess that's on them. And, yes, the Falcons now should absolutely take advantage of that opportunity. I mean, I'm obviously 1,000% for it if it's available. I don't know why with an organization that's as competitive as they are year in and year out, they wouldn't want to bring him back. E-Dog's up next. E-Dog.
Yes. This T-Dog from Cartersville. So, to answer the opening question, I don't feel like Penix is the problem. One, he is a rookie. That's been mentioned. And so you have to expect rookie mistakes along the way. And it shows in the gameplay. But you have one of the best running backs that is being underutilized on a constant basis. Every game. Why isn't Bijan being used the way he should be? He should have, on average, 20 to 25 attempts every game to see what he can produce. Because every time you watch him, you give him the ball, something magical usually happens. And we're not using him.
T-Dog, not lately. I hate to say
exactly.
but not lately. It's not Bijan's fault. The offensive line is injured and the play calling stinks. But, you know, you say something magical happens, not in the last four games.
Well, has he had 25 to 30 attempts?
I know he had 22 games ago. I know he had 17 rushes. I'm not sure how many carries or how many catches he got, but he's around 20 touches a game, which is where you want him to be.
Well, I still feel like they're putting more pressure on Penix to produce than what they have the ability to do with their running game.
Well, T-Dog, what I think you're on to, though, and thank you for the phone call, I want more Algier. More. This is his last year with the team unless they decide to do something crazy and pay two starting caliber running backs, which I don't think they're going to do. Algier was on fire yesterday. I said it again. On fire. And they gave him 11 carries. He should have had at least 15, closer to 20. He was the best, to T-Dog's point, he was the best running back on the field yesterday, not Bijan Robinson. Tyler Algier was. So give him the rock. Give him 20 carries. Again, Bijan Robinson, as long as you win, he's not going to be petulant. No. To the point, it's all backwards right now. It is all backwards right now. Quinn is up next. Quinn.
Thank you for answering my call, man. I think it's Zach Robinson. I think Penix is not getting developed. Zach Robinson is very flat. You can't hire your friend. And we know when we was winning, we had coaches that was experienced enough. I want Doug Peterson to come to Atlanta because he's an offensive genius. And he'll fix the Penix problem.
Well, Quinn, one thing just to be fair, and I'll let you finish. You say you can't hire your friends, but if Raheem didn't think Zach could do the job, why would he hire him? You know what I mean? That's my only point to that.
No, and you got to look at it. He in the games that we didn't lose, we'll run the ball, and then we'll throw six passes, and then we can't have no completions on third down. We're flat in the red zone, and look at it. The defense know what we're doing, and I'm with you. I love Isaiah. We we should have never drafted Bijan. We got all these toys, and we don't know how to use them.
Well, Quinn, I appreciate the phone call. I'm not saying don't draft Bijan. I'm saying take advantage of the fact that you have the best running back tandem in the NFL. Use him more. You all watched the game yesterday. He was running over folks. Feed him. Why'd you go away from that, Zach? That's what I don't understand. Feed him consistently. It's okay to use him. Like, he's just sitting there. He's probably not going to be back next year. Get the most out of you can from him. Why not? AJ's up next. AJ, is Penix the problem or no?
I think it's too soon to say it's Penix's fault, but there's just a lack of awareness top down. It's just overall just an unserious organization for as long as Terry Fontenot is in charge. You think about all these teams that make playoff runs consistently or win the Super Bowl. It's not because they have, you know, it's not because they draft 3-4 straight skill players every year. It's one in the trenches, especially the pass rush. And I get he prioritized it this past draft class, but before that, he's ignored it for pretty much his entire tenure in Atlanta. And it's a snowball effect, man. It keeps on making an even stupider decision than the one before with Kirk Cousins, that contract, and then drafting Penix. You never think about 4th-and-1 situation where you might need to line up under center and go for a QB sneak. Just little things like that. It all starts with Fontenot. Until we get rid of him, this will just continue to be an unserious organization. I mean, hiring Raheem Morris. You ever listen to this guy give a press conference? Like, what are we listening to?
Well,
it's ridiculous.
Well, I've listened to every minute of every Raheem Morris press conference as part of the job, unfortunately. And, he's searching for answers just like we all are right now, unfortunately. Appreciate it, AJ. Cali, Falcons fan, you're up next. Go ahead.
How's it going, brother?
What up?
Good show. Good show, man. Listen to it on my way home.
Thank you.
Penix is not the problem, I don't think, but he's definitely not part of the solution. I mean, he just doesn't look the part. He just doesn't. And you have to be able to run for a first down. It is what it is. Just like when we saw the last game, it was 3rd-and-21. Daniel Jones rips off a 19-yard run on 3rd-and-21. Like, he can't do that. He's incapable of doing that.
No, I don't think it's a bad point at all. Thanks for checking in, Cali, Falcons fan. Again, I think the worst thing Penix did for himself this season is have that 15-yard scramble a couple of weeks ago, because now we're all like, dude, why don't you do that more? You certainly have the opportunities. And then again, to Cali's point, you see Daniel Jones pick up 20 yards on 3rd down. Exactly doing that, running his legs, and it's so freaking frustrating. Good stuff from Cali Falcons fan. Lee is up next. Lee, go ahead.
Hey, man. Good day. Hey, guy.
What's up?
I don't think Michael Penix is a problem. He's definitely making mistakes, but it's expected. He's a rookie. I believe the offensive line has been a bigger issue than quarterback play. And most certainly, the offense is too predictable. I'm casual fan, but I feel like I'm Tony Romo. I'm calling the plays, and I'm just average guy. You know, I feel like NFL coaching should be way more advanced and play calling than what it is. I don't think Raheem's gonna get fired. I think he's gonna let go of Robinson and probably hire the Miami guy once he gets fired. And we're probably going to win 5-6 more games. I mean, next stretch, they pretty close. I mean, last two games were at least pleasing to the eye for the most part. We were competitive, you know?
And, Lee, you're right. And I appreciate the phone call, Lee. Thanks for checking in. You're right. The last two, that's why they're so damn frustrating, right? That's why they're so frustrating, because you're right there. But you make stupid mistakes over and over and over again. And what do stupid mistakes come down to? Sometimes, yes, it's the players. But 9 times out of 10, it's the freaking coaching. Stoney and Jory, 404-726-0929. You guys are up first. When we get back, grab a line. Is Michael Penix Jr. the problem? Had a lot of great phone calls tonight. We're going to keep it rolling. 404-726-0929. I really still think, to a lot of our callers' points, it's more on these coaches, man. He's made 11 starts in the NFL. Yes, he has to be better. Yes, he has to hold himself accountable and get in the lab. But you know what else? The coaches need to coach him up. Back in five. Is he the problem or isn't he? That's what we're trying to figure out. Taking a ton of your phone calls. We'll continue to do so here on Chris Thomas Tonight, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Go vote on the poll if you can't get through on the phones. At C Thomas Radio is where you find me on Twitter. It's fascinating. This Falcons team, I can't believe we're here again at another crossroads of a seemingly lost season. And where do you go from here? We'll get into that tomorrow and for the rest of the week. But right now, we're talking about QB1. Is he the problem? Stoney leads us off. Stoney, go ahead.
All right, Turtle, thank you for taking my call, man. I don't think Michael Penix is the problem. I mean, y'all been asking this question for like the last few weeks. It's unanimous. By now, we all should know what the problem is, and it's the coaching for sure. But I want to get to a deeper topic real quick. I just think Arthur Blank, man, got too much going on to be focused on his football team. He just bought another team this past weekend. I don't know if anybody knows. He just got the women's soccer team.
Yeah, the National Women's Soccer League team, yep.
Yeah, it's like he got his hands in everything, man, and his focus is not on his team, man. You know, he basically got
but
people running the organization.
But what are you expecting him to do in terms of day-to-day stuff? Like, what do you think he's being pulled away from?
Well, what I'm saying is that I just feel like the people that he have around him that's probably running the organization is not up to par, and he's not really paying attention to what's going on his football team, and that comes down to his coaching. So a lot of people be saying, well, it's starting from the top. And I think that's where it's starting from, because Arthur Blank, he's 83 at this point. And I just feel like, you know, it get to a point where you got to be like, either step aside and let somebody who can focus on the organization, man. You know what I'm saying? And it's showing. It's showing all the way down to the coaches.
Stoney, I understand what you're saying, but I think that's a bit of a wide-angle lens view that's a little too wide in terms of trickling down to the level that we're talking about. We're talking about football operation. We're talking about coaching. We're talking about game plan. We're talking about performance on the field. Arthur Blank would, no matter if the Falcons were the only thing that he owned or one of 10 teams that he owned, he would never be involved in the day-to-day operation of the football organization like that. That's just not how it works. Now, you can make the argument that he should, you know, maybe have a itchier trigger finger to pull the plug on something when it's not working. I would certainly hear that argument, Stoney. But in terms of his day-to-day operation, he's not, you know, even if he's in the meeting rooms with the coaches, and I know they'd have their big meeting every Monday. I'm sure that one went great today. But, you know, he's not saying, you know, you got to run a counter instead of a jet sweep here. That's not what Arthur Blank does. So I think I understand your point, Stoney, but I just think that's a little too wide-angle lens in terms of trying to establish responsibility for Arthur Blank in this. It is up to him, though, to make the decision if and when they do want to move on. That is 100% true. Jory's up next. Jory.
Hey, Turtle. How you doing, sir?
What's up, man?
Hey, so I got one that's not the problem and three that lead up to the answering the question.
Okay.
The first thing is it's not Terry Fontenot, because he's got the guys. They want a pass rush. You got pass rush. 13 sacks in the last two games. Come on. First thing is our O-line is beat up. Bergeron wasn't even playing the game. Both Chris Lindstrom and Matthews were banged up. And we're still missing our right guard, who was supposed to start, but he's out for the season. That leads me to the second thing, which is running the ball.
Right tackle.
There's a stat where when Bijan touches the ball more than 20 times, like runs the ball more than 20 times, we win. And he hasn't done that more than, I think 17 is what he had this last game. Why are we not running the ball more? Which leads me to my third thing, which is coaching. You're seeing your quarterback having problems throwing the ball. He's not getting the reads he wants. Why are you not giving it? Feed Bijan. He's, as Coach Roz said, he's the best player in the NFL. Then why are we not giving it to him? Coaching. Plus, what was up with them not calling a timeout with 11 seconds left in the second quarter? end of the fourth quarter.
Yeah, they literally made the decision to, instead of trying to put the game in reach within a field goal, you know what that says? They don't trust their quarterback to make those plays.
Right.
But, that's what that says.
But also, I mean, it's just I'm seeing too many issues. Plus, like another caller said, you can tell what they're running. You know, they keep running the same plays, or they're putting the ball in Penix's hand and the O-line's beat up. They're getting beat. He's getting hurt.
Yeah, you've had two of the most, and I appreciate the call, you've had two of the most prominent NFL analysts today come out and rail against the Falcons' predictability. One of them I had on the show a couple of weeks ago in Dan Orlovsky. You can find that interview, just search Chris Thomas Tonight, wherever you get your podcasts. The other one, Kurt Warner, who ironically enough did the game yesterday in Berlin with Adam Amin. And they've been outstandingly vocal about Zach Robinson's predictability in his offense, to Jory's point. Good stuff. Let's go to C. C, you're up next. What do you think? Is Penix the problem?
Hey, what's up, Turtle, man? First, I just want to say I appreciate you taking my call, man. But I don't think that Penix is the problem, man. Like, I really do like MP9, but I do think that he does have to grow a lot. And, you know, some things he has to work on with his footwork, his mechanics, just seeing the field, man. But I'm going to lean more so towards the coaching. You know, not specifically Raheem, though I do have some things I could criticize him about. But I think it's Zach Robinson, man. Like, I just think that I just don't think you could have an inexperienced quarterback and an inexperienced play caller. You got to pick one or the other, man. Either you're going to have a veteran QB and an inexperienced play caller, or you're going to have an experienced play caller and a rookie QB. But you can't have both going on, man. That's pretty much my point, man. I appreciate you taking the call.
Thanks, C. Appreciate it. 404-726-0929. It was a bold move, Cotton, to quote Dodgeball. He's right. C's right. The fact that they brought in Zach Robinson last year when they knew Kirk Cousins was going to be the starter, but they also knew he was coming off a major injury and definitely wasn't going to be 100% to start the season. So there was a chance that Penix was going to need to play. And now here we are, to C's point. Your coordinator and your quarterback are both absolutely lost. Larry Bird's up next. Larry.
Yeah, man. I'm pretty much on point with everybody else. Zach just ain't don't have the, you know, it just don't have the imagination, the pray. See, when you got a problem with your line, you got to help your linemen out too. Double team blocks, trap blocks, cross block, pull it. You got to help them to make them be better than what they usually can't help them because they're too small for one thing. And then Raheem as a coach, man, he got too many other problems going on. He got a special team coach problem. He got a receiver. We don't really have any receivers, but the few you got to get them in the right routes, you know. It just, I'm just kind of pretty much fed up with this whole entire regime. I'm just looking forward to it. Because you're talking about winning some more games, it's going to be very difficult. Because if you look at this schedule, the way we've been playing and the way we don't be prepared, I don't really see us winning too many more of these games.
No, Larry, to your point, I thank you for the phone call. Thanks for checking in. I don't either. That's the problem. You got the Seahawks, L. You got the Rams, L. You got the Bucks, L. You got the Panthers again. By the way, they're 5-3, L. I mean, what do you do right now? The only team on the schedule that you would think is a walkover would be the Jets and the Saints. Hey, guys, you see what the Jets did? They've won two in a row. Okay? You think the Falcons are going to walk over the Jets at their place? Why? Why do you think that? What leads you to believe that that's going to happen based on what happened the last couple of weeks? Yeah, you hung tough with some good teams, but you lost the games in clutch, painful situations again and again and again. Mark is up next. Mark.
What's going on, Turtle?
Yo.
All right, so I want to place the blame. I don't think Michael Penix is kind of the problem, but I want to blame, like, the front office, man. Like, I feel like Terry done messed this up. Now, he done hit on his top draft pick, like, and then he hit this year. I get it. But, like, we have no depth at wide receiver. Like, and then it seemed like Michael Penix, it seemed like he regressing. It seemed like he don't go through reads, and it seemed like he really don't have time, like he don't trust the line. And I know we banged up front, but don't that come with, like, the GM? Like, I feel like we didn't make no moves. We were so hyped up about the line before the year started, and we had a top line and all that. But then, truth be told, we really never had a good line, like, far as pass protection. And Michael Penix's profile is a good deep throw passer, but he struggles with the underneath. So if you know that, and you know we don't have the best pass protection line, why not address that? Why not address another wide receiver at the trade deadline before Kirk went and laid that egg when he started? He had trade value before that. If we're not going to use Algier right, why not we trade him and get some depth at some of these positions we need? I think it's Terry Fontenot, and I also want to blame the fans, man. Like, we want Michael Penix to do something that he never did in his career. Unless when he was at Indiana, he ran a lot. But once he got to Washington, he didn't run. So we can't expect him to do something he never did. And he rarely do. So, like, we got to put him in a
– just hang on one second. You do got to admit, when you see him get that flat sprint speed going like he did a couple of weeks ago and pick up a first down of 15 yards and look smooth as a gazelle, don't you want to see that more? I mean
we know his injury history. We know it's in the back of his head. We knew at Washington he never did that. So, like, we can't expect him to do something out of the ordinary. Now, he's been doing this whole time. Like, of course we want to see it more. I just feel like we got to put him in a better position as, like, an organization to help him succeed. It's only been 12 starts. He can't be the problem yet, can he? But I don't want to take all your time. You can go ahead.
No, I appreciate it. 404-726-0929. That last sentence there hit the nail on the head. He's made 11 starts in his NFL career. How can he be the problem yet? That's exactly what I'm saying. 404-726-0929. I see P. I see Corey. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll just keep taking more of your calls, man. You want to keep talking? Let's go. I'm here till 10 o'clock, baby. 404-726-0929. Is Michael Penix Jr. the problem? Y'all know how I feel about it. I agree with a lot of our callers tonight. Coaching, man. If your young stud QB's drowning, you got to pick him up. You got to put in play design. You got to get in the film room, work on his feet, work on his mechanics, get his confidence back. That's coaching, man. What do you think? Take more of your calls next. Chris Thomas tonight.